So good to be able to come to our Savior together, isn't it? This morning, just a few things happened, and I was just reminded of my inadequacy. I'll just put it that way. That sometimes I sort of disappointed with myself and just various hats I wear. And to be able to say, Jesus, when I come to the table, I'm reminded that you cover all of my sins, all of my inadequacies, and you totally accept me. We have a great Savior, don't we? Wow, he's so good. Yeah, you can give him a hand. So here's what I wonder. I wonder how you would respond today if we're here together in worship and all of a sudden, those of you engaging online, wherever you are, you're in a residential center, you're in the hospital, at home, wherever you may be, if Jesus came through the door and here he comes down the aisle or wherever you're, and he just sits right next to you, like how would you respond? Would you give him a hug, a high five? Would you fall on your knees? Would you hug him? Would you start to cry? Is there something you would tell him? Would you just go, Jesus, I can't believe it. Like you tell him how much you love him, how grateful you are. Like, you know, you really are the reason. I know it sounds corny, but you're the reason for the season, you know. And is there a need that you would bring to him that you'd go, Lord, I can't believe it. I get to talk to you. Like, this is unbelievable. And there's something I'm going through, something I care about, someone I care about they're going through. And God, I would love to see you do this. What would you tell Jesus if he were here with you today? Here's what some of you are thinking. You're going, hey, Jonathan, hey, newsflash, he is here with us today, right? Because the Bible says that wherever two or three people gather together in his name, that he's where? He's there, he's here. We can believe that Jesus is with us today. So what we want to do after I just take several minutes in the Word, I want to give us an opportunity to come and to say, you know what, I want to bring a need to Jesus, and we're going to have an opportunity to do that. Last week, if you weren't here, we looked at a passage in Matthew chapter 8, and we saw how Jesus has the power to heal. He was able to heal long-term illnesses like a contagious sin disease or paralysis, and he was able to heal short-term fevers. Like there's nothing too hard for Jesus. And we saw how in doing so that Jesus sort of gave proof that he was the Messiah, the long-awaited promised one, because he was fulfilling a 700-year-old prophecy from Isaiah chapter 53 when it says this, that the Messiah, the one who would come, would reverse the curse of sin when he would die on the cross, that Jesus, it says, took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. So he doesn't only deal with my sin problem, he deals with all of the brokenness in this life. And so we can come to him even today and say, Jesus, would you restore this relationship that seems broken? Would you provide a job that I desperately need? Lord, would you touch me physically and accomplish? If you did it then, and you're the same God, we're just saying that. Like you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, would you just work in my life in the same way? We want to ask him for that. Some might say, I got to be honest with you, like I've asked for that. I've asked for that a lot. And what I don't really understand is why, if Jesus has the power and he loves me as much as the Bible says that he loves me, why haven't I seen evidence of change? You ever wonder that? I don't pretend to have all the answers. In fact, I don't have very many answers to those questions. In fact, I've had some of those questions myself a lot of times. But here's what I know. Here's what I'm confident of, that as I've walked with Jesus and gotten to know him better, there's two things I can just begin with and say I trust. Number one, I trust his timetable. That God's timetable is always better than mine. We said last week that God sometimes heals immediately, miraculously. Sometimes he heals through medicine. Sometimes Jesus decides to heal in heaven. It's sort of like the presence of sin. We're forgiven sin today, but we're not released fully from the presence of sin until we get to heaven. It's the same with sickness and brokenness that Jesus began to fulfill when he came here, that he began to heal people and show his power over sickness and death, and he conquered death, and he gives us a measure of that today, but we won't experience it fully until we get to heaven. So we can trust his timetable. Secondly, we can trust his heart. We don't always fully understand God's ways. There are times I just go, God, if you're open to any advice, you know, from Jonathan, and yet I know in my heart that what God does is always good. And from his perspective, what he can see and what he knows, I can't comprehend it, but I can say, God, whatever gift you think is good in this moment is the gift I want you to give. You know, there's something about praying for healing in the context of communion that if I can remember the cross and say, Jesus, what you did, the amount of love that you had for me when you stretched out your arms on a cross and you died for me, like you died for me, I'm willing to trust you with unanswered questions and to believe that if it really is good, that you're going to do it now, and I'll trust you. So we trust his timetable and we trust his heart. And here's what we said last week. God never says no when one of his children requests healing or provision, or he either says yes or he says what? Not yet. And so we come. We come because he invites us to come. We come because that's what faith does. And Jesus, here's what he says. Can we read this together aloud? Let's say this next verse together from Matthew 7. Ready? Let's say it all together. Keep on asking, keep on looking, keep on knocking. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? To receive a good gift, though, you have to do what? You have to come to him, right? We saw last week in Matthew chapter 8, that was the pattern. And if you're there in your Bible, Matthew 8 verse 2, it says, a man with leprosy came and knelt before Jesus. Verse 5, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. You know, I'm sure there were people in the crowd today, individuals who had big needs, people going through all kinds of different crises or stress. And while some of them came to Jesus, there were probably a number of people who were just out in the crowd going like, I don't know, like sort of embarrassing for me to bring that to Jesus. And I've been praying it for a long time and nothing's really happened. And maybe it's just humbling for people to see and go, what is he praying about, you know? And what is she going? And there were probably people who heard Jesus. They would even say they believed in Jesus. They watched Jesus heal other people, but they never came themselves. And I wonder for them how many life would have been different had they simply come and said, Jesus, I believe, I've seen you do it for others, and I believe you can do it for me, and so I'm coming and I'm asking. I don't want to be like, you know, one of Jesus' followers would say later, he said, the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't what? You don't ask God for it. So in a few minutes, we're going to have an opportunity to ask, to say, Jesus, we're coming to you. We're taking you up on your invitation. You said we could ask and seek and knock. And friends, listen to this. The question isn't whether Jesus is with us today. The question is really only, are we going to come to him? That's the question. Believing that he is, as it says in Hebrews 13, he is the same yesterday and what? Today and forever. The same authority that Jesus showed when he walked the towns of Israel and healed people is the same authority that he has today in cities across America and around the world. We can trust him and we can ask him to work and say, Lord, whatever gift you decide to give, whether it's a gift of healing or it's grace to endure, we're going to ask you and we're going to trust you. We've seen him work, and I want you to hear one of the testimonies of how Jesus, what he did a few months back. And this is from our friend Janet, a member of Grace. And I want you to hear her story, and let's just give thanks together for what God is able to do. Here it is.